And welcome, Saint Sports Weekly. You're on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Jeff Bowman, along with the coach Fred Smith. I want to thank our sponsor, Santa Ana University, Magic Fountain Auto Wash and Storage. Once again, 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. And also, if you want to hear some of the episodes, if you've missed something, you can now go on to 965thecave.com, and you can go up into across a tab across the top. There's replays. Click on replays, and you can drop down Saint Sports Weekly, and you can go in there and find this year's past episodes. So we're trying to be a little more technical out there for you, so you can easily find some of our old shows. But speaking of shows, we got a new one here today, and we are going to be talking a little men's soccer, Fred, as we're going to bring in Coach Drew Crawford, the men's soccer coach. Drew, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good, good. It's a busy weekend coming up. This week, actually, we got Wednesday, Saturday for you, so it's going to be a couple big whack games that you need to get right back into the thick of things. You got to get a couple wins here.
Yeah, for sure. We haven't started the conference season as well as we had hoped, but we're looking to rebound on Wednesday night against U of M Dearborn and carry some momentum into a very tough Indiana Tech game on Saturday.
Well, and, you know, looking at a couple of last games, I mean, it doesn't help when you get own goals. That makes it tough to win when you're putting it in their net yourself.
Yeah, you know, a couple of unfortunate breaks, you know, defenders trying to defend set pieces and, you know, deflects off their foot and just, you know, that unfortunate bounce. But like I told them after the game, like, we've got to figure out how to get those bounces to go our way and, you know, create those opportunities on the other end of the field.
Well, other than, you know, that, how have things been going? I know, again, you've lost a couple in conference play. What's been kind of the difference in those games besides the one with Rochester where you score yourself?
Yeah, you know, in the WAC, there's no easy games. Like, every team is tough and every game is difficult. And it always comes down to one or two plays, and we've been on the wrong end of the plays and just have to figure out a way to win those games and get those plays to fall, you know, in our favor rather than against us. Because we've been in both games. We were leading in the Rochester game 2-1 with 12 minutes left. It's kind of an unfortunate penalty kick call, which, after looking at the tape, I didn't think it was a foul. You know, so we had that go against us. And then the own goal with 3 minutes left, it was just one of those games that, you know, really we had, you know, I thought we were playing well enough to win the game. And a couple of bad things happened in the last 12 minutes and the game goes the other way.
Well, I really felt, Drew, this is Coach Smith, after we opened on the road at Huntington, you had three wins in a row against all, you know, Taylor, Goshen, Adrian, seemed like good performances. Well, what did we do in those games in general that we didn't do in our conference games?
Well, the big difference in those we defended well, and we didn't give too many corner kicks and set pieces in those games. We didn't foul, their team very often, and we limited their opportunities. And in the games that we've lost, the conference games, we've given up 7 goals, and 6 of them have been off set pieces. So we've been working on that, trying to eliminate the fouls so they don't get opportunities, and 2, when they do, can we defend them better? And be a little bit, you know, sharper in those areas. But 6 of the 7 goals have come from dead ball situations, which in our game, that's when a lot of goals are going to come from. So we're just really concentrating on that aspect, you know, defending better, not fouling, trying to eliminate corner kicks, which it's difficult, but, you know, we just have to do a better job.
You know, it reminds me a little bit the good part of this is it reminds us as a parallels our football team. You know, they had a couple games there where we played all right, but just didn't get over the hump, and they've seemed to do that their last few ball games. And so, obviously, Dearborn is key. You can't worry about Tech till you get Dearborn. What does Dearborn look like this year?
They're good. You know, they're always very athletic. They play pretty direct for the most part, so we're going to have to be on our toes defensively. They've got some big, strong, fast kids that we're going to have to worry about. But again, it's going to be more about what we do and less about what they do. If we keep the ball and move it the way we can and finish our opportunities the way that we can, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we'll walk off with 3 points. But, you know, the longer you let teams hang around, and again, U of M Dearborn is a very athletic team. They're fast. They counterattack very well. You know, we just have to, one, keep the ball, and two, when we lose it, we've got to eliminate their first ball out of the back so they can't break our pressure and play the long balls over the top, which is what they're really looking to do.
Now, looking ahead, you know, Indiana Tech ranked number 9th. In the country. And also, I'm looking at some of the records here where, you know, they're 9-1. You've got Lawrence Tech that's 6-4, Lord 6-4. So you got some teams that have played 10 games. Concordia's playing 10. You know, we're only at 6 right now. Are they front loading their schedule then?
No, we just, our non conference schedule got a little crazy with a couple of things. We played Olivet, which was supposed to be a regular game for us, and they called it a scrimmage, so it's not on our record, but that was an actual game for us. And then Grace, we were supposed to play them, and they double-booked us and let us know about 2 weeks before we were scheduled to play them. So we should have had, you know, we should be sitting at 8 games right now instead of 6, but, you know, the way it worked out, we still, you know, we played the Olivet game, so, you know, I think we were, you know, rested and ready, and, you know, we were ready for conference play, and Lords is a good team, and, you know, it was a battle back and forward, and they scored, I mean, the last goal was less than a minute left in the game after we were pushing for it, trying to tie it, and, you know, Rochester, again, is a good team, and we had them up 2-1, and, you know, just couldn't close the deal, so we just have to get better at, you know, one, when we get the lead, being better with the lead, and two, you know, again, like I said, eliminating their opportunities off the dead ball.
You know, Drew, would you characterize your team as an experienced team or a young squad?
We're a good mixed bag, I think. We've got a lot of players that are starting that have started in the past, but we also have 3 or 4 players that are new to the team this year that are starting for us. So, you know, we've got, like I said, out of the 11, probably 7 that are returning starters or have had significant time in the past, and then the other 4 are new players to us. So we're still trying to find our full, you know, chemistry. I think we've got it, I feel, but we're still, you know, trying to tinker with things and trying to find all the right combinations. So the coach, you know, I'm sure you know, sometimes you've got to switch out that starting 5 or what's the rotation off the bench to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And it's different against every opponent.
Who are some of the players that you've been very pleased with that have been, you know, some of our highlights thus far?
Well, Gustavo Barros is our, you know, returning 2-time team MVP, and he's off to a good start offensively, scoring a lot of goals and assists. You know, David Turner, who you're going to talk to in a little bit, Joel Costco have done a great job of anchoring our defense with Cam and Willem on the outside. So our back four pretty much stayed the same all year, and they've done an excellent job. And then a big thing, you know, we've had a lot of injuries, which, again, because we're deep, we've had guys that have been able to step up. But that has definitely hurt us as well. We had, at one point in the last game, our starting midfield, there was only one of our original 3 starting midfielders from the beginning of the year because of injuries and other reasons. So, you know, we're trying to find all the right pieces and push all the right buttons, and, you know, as a coach, you know, sometimes you push the right ones and sometimes you don't.
Well, you're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. Jeff Bowman along with Fred Smith and also men's head soccer coach Drew Crawford. And Drew, looking at the roster again, and I know we talked about this last year with a little bit of issues with trying to get some of your international players over. How is that for this year? I know a couple guys you mentioned are international. Are you pretty set with all those, or did not all of them be able to make it and be able to start this season with you?
No, we were lucky this year. Everybody got in on time and got all their paperwork completed and all those things. So we had everybody eligible from game number one that came in. So we've been working as a group, and we do have quite a few internationals that are starting and play quite a few minutes, and that's one of the challenges as a coach when we've got four or five kids from the U.S. and four or five from Brazil and a kid from Germany, a couple from Spain, and all over the world trying to meld all their different styles together to see what fits the Siena Heights way.
I think we need to start going on some of those recruiting trips, Fred.
Yeah,
I wish I was seeing them in person for sure.
And I wondered about that, and looking at your roster, I don't know, 38, 39 total kids, and I think I counted almost half of the young men were international players, which is probably the most Siena Heights has ever had, right?
Probably pretty close. I mean, it's been, I've been lucky with, I've had some good relationships with some of the international recruiting agencies. And then obviously our players are big recruiters as well. We've had a couple players come in that were friends of players that were already at the school. So they've helped recruit, some of those players. So I really didn't have to do much other than say, yep, come on, I'd like to have you. So, that's your best recruiter is always your alumni and your current players anyway.
Yeah, I'm looking at that there because there's a lot from Brazil, but from the same area, the Porto Alegre, that's a lot there in Rio Grande do Sul, looking at Rio. So there's a lot from certain areas.
Yeah, and that came, a lot of them, again, from the same recruiting service, but also, they said, hey, I've got a friend, that from home, and they were looking to come over and play. So then they would contact me, and, we'd start that conversation to see if we were a good fit for each other. So a lot of that has, the players did a lot of the groundwork for a lot of those recruits.
And speaking of that, as you said, you don't get to see them very much, ever in person, maybe some film. Do you run into some of the problems once in a while where you get somebody on campus and go, maybe it's not the fit that we thought? Is that something that happens, more often than not?
I've been lucky. It's only happened once. We had a transfer come in a few years ago. And just wasn't the right type of player, not from a soccer standpoint, but more from a locker room standpoint, and really hurt the chemistry of the team. And he only stayed the one semester and, was better for all of our interests for him to go somewhere else. So,
I noticed your JV schedule, but I didn't see the results. First of all, have you been able to play some of those JV games?
We've played, I think, six or seven reserve games so far.
Okay, and as you come into the year, have you found any surprises from some young players you thought would be reserve players that you brought on up to varsity action?
We have. We have brought, three or four different players up from the reserves that, as they play well, we give them opportunities, and it's their time to really show that we, what we saw was correct. And I'll just throw out one name. And the last game, Diego Vitelli had been playing well on the reserves, had been practicing well. He thought he deserved some time, and he scored his first collegiate goal, which was an absolute cracker, with 3 seconds left in the first half to tie the game. Like I tell all the players, you're going to get your opportunity, or you have to earn your opportunity. And when you get it, you better make sure you're ready, because that opportunity is either going to give you more opportunities or it could give you less opportunities depending on how you perform.
Yeah, and that's key. I think, most times we talk with most coaches is, be ready when your opportunity arises, because you know, sometimes you don't get that second chance, or very often, you know, you get that first look and you go, okay, yes, they can play at this level, or, well, maybe they can't. And you start, you know, if you already get that preconceived notion, then sometimes it's harder to get them back on there, out there the second time. So you really got to take advantage of that opportunity when it arises.
Yeah, for sure. And as a coaching staff, we talk, you know, the day before every game and say, okay, who do we need to try to get in the game? Who's been performing well this week? Who do we think will help us in this game? Not just the starters, obviously, but the first, you know, five, six, seven guys off the bench. Like, who are the guys that we need to have on the top of our head to, you know, get in the game and think that can make a positive impact for us?
You know, Coach, you know, you spent a lot of years in the professional ranks, and then obviously you've done a lot of coaching, certainly at club level. Then surprised you? It sounds like, at least it surprised you, that the level of the WAC has top
to
bottom.
Catch that question, Fred?
Yeah, that the level of the WAC has been probably maybe a little better than you thought from top to bottom?
I definitely think the WAC is one of the top probably four or five conferences in the country, soccer-wise, top to bottom.
Yeah.
Because we play, you know, some of the other conferences, and some of the other teams, you know, branch out and play some of those other conferences. And, you know, we've done well as a conference against other conferences. And, you know, at Siena Heights, we've been, you know, struggling to make the playoffs in the WAC, and then we go to the Crossroads and we, you know, we go 2-0, or, you know, we're playing against the teams that are consistently making the playoffs, and we can compete with them. So the WAC is a very good conference for soccer, for men's soccer. And, you know, like I said, every game can go either way. There's not a game on our schedule that we can circle and say, okay, that's going to be a win, because every team can play in this conference, and they play such different styles that you've got to really get ready for the next team.
So, Coach, what about international presence on the other WAC programs? Are they relying at all on international players? Are they mostly players from the Midwest? I know Northwest Ohio recruits from all over. So what is that like?
Yeah, so we've got a mixed bag. So you've got Northwestern Ohio, which is almost all international. Indiana Tech is almost all international. Lawrence Tech is mostly U.S. kids, but they're kind of like us, so they've got some internationals in there as well. U of M Dearborn is completely, almost all Michigan kids. Definitely, you know, all U.S. kids. Concordia is the same. I think they're mostly, you know, American kids, mostly from Michigan. So it's just, I think it's one, it's how the school, you know, does their scholarship programs, and also the coaches, you know, how they feel about having international players on their team, and what it, you know, the effects, good and bad, that it can have.
Yeah, because obviously it's a little work for you guys. I mean, the language barrier, and then you've got to kind of acclimate them to the college play here, and having them kind of blend and mesh with your kids. Some coaches probably don't think that it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly right. So we've been lucky. We've had quality players and quality kids. You know, everybody gets along and cares for each other and helps each other, and they work hard together. But we've also had those kids that are team first. So, you know, we've been lucky so far.
Well, and, you know, we'll talk to David and ask him a little bit about it as well. And from a player's perspective, because, you know, we talked to, you know, one of the girls from the ladies' teams recently, and, you know, they love the fact that just being able to, you know, share some experiences with somebody from another country, and, you know, some learning on both sides. And, you know, it's something that is really cool, because it's not something that you would maybe think when you're going to school, that all of a sudden you're going to be teammates with people from, you know, all different walks of life. Yes, you think that, but not different countries. So, you know, these kids get to experience a lot of different things.
Yeah, and I think it's a great thing, you know, off the field, learning about different cultures and what's important, and, you know, the different foods. And, you know, I know a lot of the Brazilian guys are, you know, every once in a while they'll invite guys over for their Brazilian barbecue, which I have yet to come to. So if you guys are listening, you know, you need to invite me. But, you know, they do. So they learn all about different cultures and all that stuff. And they get it firsthand. You're not reading it in a textbook or watching it on film. You know, you're there learning from, you know, firsthand.
Yeah, and I think that's a cool experience for a lot of these kids. And, you know, in your past, I know, you know, you've been around here for, you know, 10 years or more in Siena as a coach now, but then as a player prior. Do a lot of these kids stay in the U.S. or do a lot of them go back to, you know, where they grew up?
I think a lot of them stay. You know, a lot of them come here for the education, but also they want to stay and work. And we've had, you know, some of our players in the past, Andres Mata, who's down in North Carolina, I believe, you know, he stayed and did that. So a lot of the guys do stick around and, you know, like obviously a lot of them get married and, you know, their wives are, you know, a lot of them are from America. So they want to be around the family and things like that. So, you know, I guess, you know, it's everybody's going to be a little different, but a lot of them have stayed and I'll see them. You know, they show up to games every once in a while. We're on the road, and it's nice to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Coach, again, good luck. I know it's a busy week for you, and, you know, a couple big games out there looming, and hopefully we can, you know, put a couple more marks in the W column.
Yeah, that's the plan this week.
All right, Coach.
Good luck, Coach. Go get them Wednesday.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, once again, that was Coach Drew Crawford, the men's soccer coach for Siena Heights University. We're going to take a quick timeout and come back and talk with one of his players, David Turner, right after this, right here, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5 The Cave, Saints Sports Weekly.
Is space becoming a problem for you? You have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about. Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.sienaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith, talking a little Siena Heights University men's soccer tonight. Just got done talking with Coach Drew Crawford, and one of the players he mentioned was one of his players, David Turner. David's in on the phone with us right now. David, how's it going tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
Great, thank you. I see, talking with Coach. The WAC play has not started out as you guys have anticipated, so you got to do some things to turn that around. What's your take on, you know, why these two games haven't gone the way you've wanted?
Little mistakes that we made. In our last game, giving up two own goals, that's pretty unlucky. That doesn't happen very often, but just doing little things to try and prevent those mistakes, like trying to defend set pieces better, just trying to not give them up, like just certain things like that.
David, this is Fred Smith, Coach Smith. I spent a lot of years at Siena. And my question is looking at your bio, which is something I love to see. You started right from the bottom. And what I mean by that is you started your freshman year, you played four games. I don't know if you played any reserve games. And then you've really worked your way to become a centerpiece of this program. So what are the biggest changes and you had to do both physically and tactical-wise to get to this point?
Tactically-wise, I would just say I had to work on parts of my game, like being louder, being a better communicator, and just trying to direct people better. But physically, I would say, is just making sure that I was ready to play in the physical level that college is, that I wasn't just going to be thrown around by the grown men that we play against, that I could actually handle myself. And I feel like I've been able to do that so far, which is good.
You came from a pretty competitive program at Detroit Catholic Central, so I would assume you played pretty good level of high school soccer. Is that right, would you say?
For the most part, yeah. I did not make my high school team my senior year, which I thought was going to be the downfall to me, but I just kept working. I talked with the coaches at my club, and I found times that I could practice and just doing things like that so I could stay physically ready for my my senior year club season so I could hopefully get an offer from a college.
So who'd you play club for, David?
The Michigan Jags.
Okay, and where are they located out of?
The spot I played for was mainly Novi Wixom, but I mean, they got teams all over the place now.
So how did you hear about Siena, and how did you hear from Siena?
I actually heard about Siena from my club coach, because he knew that I wanted to play college soccer, and he had known my situation my senior year and what had happened. So I had talked to him about it, and he had told me about Siena, that they had just recently gotten a new coach and that they needed center backs. So I reached out to Drew and just asked him if he could come to some of my games and watch me play, and then he did, and everything just continued to work and go forward from there.
You ought to be very proud of this. Is to me a great story that you've shown the fortitude, to become a stalwart on a collegiate team. Academically, how's your journey been at Siena? I mean, what did you plan on studying, and what are you studying?
So going into college, I really liked mechanical engineering, but sciences has never been my forte, and I realized that coming here that I wasn't going to be able to stick with sciences just because they were too hard for me, and I didn't do well in the classes. So I ended up changing to business, and I found more things that I like, and I like certain aspects of it better than I do engineering, so I do feel I found a good fit.
Oh, that's, man, sounds like things are really coming together for you. And I know that last year or whatever, you get an extra year of eligibility. I mean, it says you're a junior, but you do have another year. When do you anticipate trying to play a fifth year, or will you try to get out in the next year and a half?
That is more probably going to depend on school, that if I can take a fifth year of school and play soccer, there's a high chance I would consider it, just because playing college soccer has been my dream since I was a little kid. Like, I grew up always wanting to play, so if I can keep playing, I might. But also, if I don't necessarily need to do the classes, then it's time for my next step in life, and I can still find ways to try and be involved with soccer, whether with its coaching or playing with a men's team or something like that.
You know, one of the things that Jeff and I have, we've done this show now for a couple of years. We've talked to a few students that have played that first semester, fifth year, and went into our MBA program, which is, I don't know if something you might consider. I just thought I'd just float that out to you. As I can't help myself, I spent a lot of years doing this, but I just want to congratulate you. I just, man, what a great story, and we'll be watching not only you but the team, because you'd won three matches in a row going into conference, and the same frustrations that you shared, the set piece thing, Coach told us all about it, and some of the weird things that have happened. But so we wish you a lot of luck. I'll turn this back over to Jeff.
Well, again, and I think that as Coach alluded to as well, I mean, just the, chasing this, obviously, through the club side and trying to, have the dream of college soccer and still being able to play it. It does look like if you can make that fifth year work and still have some school that you can do, it definitely looks like you want as much time, on that, the soccer pitch as you can get.
Yeah. It's definitely been something I love for a while, and I'm really glad to be playing, because I don't know what I would be doing without soccer. It helps a lot, just keeping me guided and keeping me focused, because with soccer, there's the responsibilities like school. If my grades aren't good enough, then I can't play. So it keeps me on top of school and just keeps me going.
Well, and you said you'd switched over to the business side. What is what's a plan for you then, now with this degree having a switch and kind of going a different direction? What is your life after college looking like now?
ideally for me is I would like to try and start my own company in a trade school. Just something where I can also be outside too, because I enjoy being outside. Like, I do landscaping over the summer and I love that. So something like just along the idea of a trade school, or just something where I'm going to stay physically active. If I'm not able to play soccer still, then I'll still be active through work at least.
Well, on a job like that, you can set your own hours, keep your own things that you want to do, and you know, work hard at it. And at least you're learning, you know, the back end side of the business. You already got your front end as far as the landscaping and thing. You know how to work hard. Now it's learning the back end to make sure that that it works the right way.
Yep.
What, talk about the attitude of the team so far. I mean, how is it? Change or progressed, I hope, during your 3 years here?
I really think this year has been different than in the past years. This year, like every year, we've talked about let's be a family, but this year we're showing it a lot more. I mean, we've had our moments where we've broken down, but for the most part, we are all supportive of each other. We're all like going to fight for each other, and we do look like a family, but then there's just those little moments where we break down and we're not. That can be a slip up of a goal or something like that. So just getting those little wrong things out of the picture to make it better.
You know, one thing that we talked with Coach about too is just the dynamics of the team with the international players and the Americans. And you know, we were talking to some of the girls recently about, you know, how they enjoy that. And you know, how is that for you, getting to know, you know, a different culture and being able to make friends with somebody that you'd probably never thought you'd be able to make friends with?
It's definitely interesting. I mean, there's some problems with the language barrier, just because, I mean, I don't understand Portuguese or Spanish very well. So when they speak it, I don't really know what they're saying. But I mean, other than that, it's a lot of fun. Like, on the field, it's fun to watch them because it's a completely different play style than we're used to. But, I mean, off the field, they're a lot of fun to hang out with. Like, we've done, like, Brazilian barbecues, which is a lot of fun and really good to go to. So,
yeah, Coach Crawford was campaigning for that, saying that he hadn't been to one yet, that he needs to get to one of those Brazilian barbecues. His mouth was watering talking about it. So you might need to put a word in there for the rest of the guys. Maybe they get a little more playing time if they get Coach over to have some Brazilian barbecue.
We'll make sure to send the invite out next time. Maybe can we have him or Coach T host it, and we bring all the food and there we just cook go. It for him.
Yeah, there you go. See, you guys, you gotta work angles. You know, you got to figure those things out. Well, again, Dave, we appreciate your time with us tonight. And, you know, good luck. It seems like that you definitely have a lot of things going in the right direction for you. And hopefully you know, good luck on the field and off.
Thank you. It means a lot.
Congrats and best of luck. We'll be watching you and your team, David.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Thank you very much. Once again, that's David Turner. You love guys that get it, don't you?
Oh, man. I mean, what a story. I mean, I think that is so cool that a guy saw it and he went out with his club and he visualized what he'd like to do.
Yeah.
And he came into this program probably without a lot of expectations, and here he is one of the stalwarts of the team.
And you probably look back at some of his high school players that are not or didn't get a chance to play at the college level, and he's doing a lot better than they were. So,
well, and that's a big change now. The club atmosphere determines so much more than high school when we played, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know sometimes that some of the coaches don't like some of the club stuff too.
Right.
You know, there's some clashing going on between style of play and other things that go with it. But again, congrats to him on being able to make it in here. So again, we're going to take a quick timeout. We got a former Saints soccer player, somebody in the net. So we'll talk with him in a little bit as soon as we get back on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com. Saints Sports Weekly, once again brought to you by Siena Heights University and Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Is space becoming a problem for you? Do you have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena, a Catholic university. Located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman along with Coach Fred Smith. And bring in now our special guest, our alumni spotlight, is Joe Hall, former soccer goalie at Siena Heights. And Joe, welcome in.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you having me. Fred, how are you?
Hey, it's great to talk to you today. And not only was a heck of an athlete, but a coach for Siena when he got his master's degree, too.
I did. Yep, I coached him after I got him playing for 2 years with the women's program.
Well, I liked the alumni when I played that fight song. And is that was were, you probably weren't around when there was this fight song, were you?
No. back when I was there, they didn't have a fight song.
We had
the St. Mobile, and we were out in the cornfield out there.
Yeah, you also had that crazy siren when you scored, didn't you, the fraternity guys? I remember that drove me nuts. But
they had an old air raid siren that they would make that thing scream, and whenever we scored.
And I'm telling you, you had a heck of a fouling. I mean, I remember being the AD, trying to just control our guys. They had so much fun at the game, you know. But we were.
Oh, yeah. They used to bring couches out there and set up shop.
That's hilarious. Anything you guys could do to probably, you know, get it, Fred probably worked for pretty well for you, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
You wanted to see him throw his coat off like you did on the side of the court, right?
Well, yeah, that would have been interesting. No, Fred was great. He was super supportive of the soccer program, and he'd come out all the time, and he would be, you know, hanging out with everybody, watching the game, and just having a good time. It was awesome.
Well, you know, Coach, you came at a time when, I think probably Coach Mello recruited you. Would that be correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yep, my freshman year was 1987.
And boy, we were rolling then. You know, and then I think Coach, when did Coach leave, 89 or 90, was it?
Yeah, I think he was there three years. When I was 2 or 3 years there, I think I played under him. When I came in, I think the year before, they'd already gone to nationals, a national tournament, regionals or nationals, but they were a powerhouse. They had half our team was stocked from California and out west, and we had a really, really good team.
Now, where did you come from, Joe?
I grew up in the Flint area,
born
and raised, and I went to Flint Powers, played soccer there. And, you know, back in those days, they didn't do a lot of recruiting of, kids at my caliber in terms of Division II or what we used to call, B.
Right.
So my parents put together a highlight reel and sent it out to a bunch of colleges and went and did the rounds and went to several of them and came to Siena. And really, the reason that I chose Siena was that they offered me the best opportunity to play.
So when you came from Flint Powers down to Siena, academically, what were you thinking about studying and what did you end up studying?
Well, honestly, I just wanted to play soccer somewhere. That was my goal. I knew I was going to go to college somewhere and play. I was an average student coming into college, and I majored in history. However, after sitting through a couple 3-hour lectures, I decided this is not for me. Didn't know what I wanted to do. I kind of just fell into some social work classes. Had a couple professors at Siena that really were like mentors to me in the social work program. So I majored in human services with a concentration in social work. And then got my master's in counseling from there.
Well, that's outstanding, Joe. I'm trying to remember, was Kitty Venus Madden there? Who was our social work person then? I can't remember, you know?
Al Connor was one of
Al
the teachers
Connor,
that really kind of inspired
right.
me.
Yeah,
yep.
Al, he was, man, a special
yeah,
man.
He was something else. He was in his 60s. He was a grassroots social worker from Cincinnati, and he was passionate, man, about helping people, and he got me really fired up to enter the field.
So what are you doing now then?
So I actually, when I was in college, graduate school, I worked at Murray Spear Campus in there in Lenawee County, which is a residential facility for boys and girls adjudicated to the court. And I also worked at, it's not there anymore, but it used to be Aging Training School. It's a state-run facility. So after that, I actually got a job at a place called Camp Oakland up in the Pontiac area, Oxford area. And I've been in the field ever since, juvenile justice and working with at-risk kids and families. My current position is with Oakland County. I'm the chief of treatment services at Oakland County's residential treatment facility called Children's Village.
That's awesome.
That's outstanding to hear, Joe. You should be so proud.
It's been a great feel. Really challenging, but if it wasn't for those encounters with those people at Siena, I really don't know what I would be doing. I didn't have a lot of interest in other things. So I'm eternally grateful for the opportunity that Siena gave me.
You know, it's funny, Joe, I got to tell you, when I went to school a long, long, long time ago, that's really all. I mean, I was a decent student, but I just wanted to play basketball.
Right.
And then, then you get there and then you figure it out. But the master's program, I'm also a graduate of that counseling program. And I think Bob Brady, God rest his soul, was there. I don't know if you had Dr. Brady and some of those people. They were phenomenal.
Unbelievable program. I agree 100%. Yeah, Bob Brady and his wife, Linda Brewster, right. They were amazing. They used to have those weekend retreats out at their house.
Yes, yeah, I remember.
And it was, even when I talk to my colleagues and other people in the field, and I tell them the kind of, supervision and treatment and what we learned there, they're blown away.
So let's switch gears a little bit. You did the coaching there for a while. Have you dabbled in any coaching at all in the sport you love over the last 20 years?
Once I kind of was that kind of player that when I got done, I was done. I still enjoyed it. I played pickup for a few years, and I still watched soccer on TV and everything. But, once we had kids and I really switched over to coaching my daughter in softball, travel softball,
wow.
Which I knew nothing about, so that was a whole new experience. But all those experiences that I had, playing soccer and all those experiences from Siena, was so great to translate that into your kids when they start playing sports.
How old are your kids now?
Yeah.
How old are your children, your kids now?
I have a my daughter is 22, and she's finishing up at Ferris this year. I have a stepdaughter who mid-20s. Don't quote me on the age. She'll probably kill me. But she graduated from OU, and then I have a 21-year-old stepson who's still at home.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Do you stay in touch with many of the guys you played with?
Oh, you know what, Fred? That's one of the great things about Siena playing on those teams is to this day, I still have weekly texts or calls with the majority of the guys on those teams. There's a core group of us that stay in contact all the time, and it's just like time hasn't even passed when we see each other. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've been doing this show this is our second year now with Fred and I, and that's one of the cool things I hear from a lot of, former athletes, that there's such a good core group of guys that they've played with and still have been able to hang out with and keep in touch with. And, besides the stories of how some of these players got to Siena, the stories about how they're still in contact with some of their friends from Siena, those are pretty cool stories that we get to hear every week.
Yeah, and it's always funny because the same type of jokes that you told back then and all the same, the things that were funny to us back then are still funny to us today. And we can reference something that happened back in college. And it was all those years ago and people exactly remember what it was. And it's just, it's awesome like that.
It's got to be interesting for you, Joe, if you've come back to campus to see where, we're playing soccer and that now we have 23 or 24 sports and 650 student athletes and it's compared to the cornfield, which was an awesome place out there, the old Zoller Field. It was a cool place.
We definitely put the work in out there.
I know you guys took care of that field. And I remember my pants, we'd chase balls and they had either beans or corn, but it was beans. My pants would be all green from going in there to finding those balls in the soybean field, but it was what a cool place to play. Now it's
if I can share one humorous story about that, Fred. Again, the cornfields. In my sophomore year, a few of us on the team decided to get mohawks.
Yeah.
So one day during practice, because there were corn out there and it was a long way back to the field house, I was using the bathroom out by the corn. I don't know if you remember this, Fred, but at some time later that week, I got a call from Fred and the coach. I think it was Weaver at the time.
Yeah.
And they said, "Oh, we want to see you in my office." And so I went down there and went to Fred's office. And he said, "One of the sisters called me and said that she had saw an Indian going to the bathroom up by the cornfield because I had this mohawk.
So,
Fred was great about it. He was just like, you know, either you got to go further into the cornfield or you got to make the trek back to the field house.
It was pretty tough, though, because, the facilities were, it's changed so much.
Yes.
But that was, at that time, Adrian Dominican land that we played on. That's why we really couldn't have any permanent bleachers. We had to get permission just to put that scoreboard there, you know, and they had footers in it. But it's so cool to see how far the school's gone, too, and certainly great to see what you have done. And I knew you'd be a great guest tonight. Who are some of the guys you stay in touch with?
Oh, gosh. Ted Hanisch, who's there coaching still. Andrew, once in a while, we touch base. Ricky McQueary, Don Bilsmark. I'm trying to think of a lot of the other guys. John Phillips, we still talk to. Don Juke, I still talk to once in a while. So, yeah, that core group is still there. And, you know, the older guys who we're really good friends with, like Steve Chappell, who came in with Drew, Trey Blake, and Drone Harnden, P.J. Imish, all those guys,
Well, again, we appreciate you coming in, Joe, and kind of getting some little stories from the older days at Siena Heights. And again, this is it's always fun talking with the alumni spotlight to get a little history back. And especially it's nice when, you know, some of the newer guys, Fred has to introduce himself and tell him how long he'd been at Siena. You guys already know.
Well, you know, you know, the thing is, Joe, you had a heck of a career, too. You were a great player. And now, back then, we didn't have websites and internet and everything, you know, and it's... you know, and we always wish we did such a better job statistically. So, anyhow, I want to congratulate
you. Well, I mean, Fred, think about this. When I was back there, we had a typing lab.
That's right.
Right.
You're right. I remember.
Yeah, that's a lot different, isn't it? That's for sure. Well, Joe, we're up against the top of it. I love talking with you, and maybe we can get out there and do this again next time we talk a little soccer, because I can tell you got a lot more to talk about as well. So we appreciate you coming in. Thank you very much, and you know, good luck in with all you're doing. It sounds like you're doing a great thing for the youth right now anyway.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a great day. Once again, that is Joe Hall, former player at Siena Heights University, and we're going to get ready to get out of here. Thank you very much for listening once again. It's been Saint Sports Weekly, brought to you by Magic Fountain Auto Wash and Storage and Siena Heights University, and right here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.
Is space becoming a problem for you? You have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple-sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.